Hello, hello. How are you all doing? You're still there. What an interesting morning to be preaching. Huh? I know that you all might have questions and mixed feelings about this morning, but I would like to ask you just to put your questions and mixed feelings aside for the next 20 to 30 minutes and dive into the gospel with me. See, our God, He is in the business of spreading good news. And He does have good news for us this morning. So let's all close our eyes. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You. We adore You. And we thank You for the gospel. We thank You because You have good news for us today. We thank You for Your Spirit that brings light into the darkness and bring hope where there is no hope. And I pray that our hearts will be open for Your Word. I pray that our minds will be clean to retain everything You need to, You want to talk to us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, I'll be continuing the series in the book of Romans. Today we'll talk about Romans chapter 8. See, the book of Romans is an amazing book. And the chapter 8 is exactly in the middle of the book, 16 chapters. The chapter 8 is the heart of the book of Romans. Paul actually starts the book of Romans saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." That is what Paul says about the gospel. But then he continues. And he says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You see, last week we talked about Paul's attempt to follow the law. And we saw that the law reveals the sinfulness of man. Now, there was once a rich young man, and he met Jesus. And he asked Jesus, "What do I need to do to be saved?" That is not a good question to ask Jesus. It is better just to say, "Jesus, save me." And then Jesus gave him what he needs to do. Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Love your neighbor. Love your God." And then he answered to Jesus and he said, "I did all of that." That is also not a good thing to say to Jesus. "I followed all the commandments. I obeyed it all." Then Jesus looked to him and said, "One thing you lack. One thing." You see, that is what the law will tell you. One thing you lack. The law will always point to what you lack. The law will never say to you, "Well done, faithful servant." You see, the law is designed to take you to the end of yourself, crying like Paul, "What a wretched man I am." See, but the gospel is different. Because if the law reveals the sinfulness of man, the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. And this righteousness of God in the gospel and nowhere else is given to us as a gift. And we can receive it by faith. You see, the law condemns the best of us. But the gospel forgives and justifies the worst of us. You see, the law tells us, give up. That's the message of the law. Give up. Give up trying to save yourself. Give up trying to justify yourself. But the gospel tells us, give in. Give in into what was done for you. Give in and believe the good news of God's salvation. And Romans 8 is an invitation to giving to the gospel. So are you all ready for this amazing chapter? Okay, we will be talking from verse 1 to 9. But because the verses are so rich, we will stop in every verse. we will really understand what he's saying. We will try to extract as much truth as we can for each one of them. So let's start with Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's stop here. You see, if in chapter 7, Paul was in a low valley of despair, now in chapter 8, he is on a high mountain of grace. And from this mountain, he can see everything that was done for us. And do you know the first thing he sees? He sees that the condemnation is gone. There is now no more condemnation. You see, because you are in Christ, and if you are a believer, there is no condemnation for you. Did you know that? You cannot be condemned. The only way that you can be condemned is if Christ himself can be condemned. Why? Because you are in him. And because there is no condemnation for Christ, there is also no condemnation for you. See, you can say to yourself with confidence, I am not condemned, and I will not be condemned. Because it is not about what I do or what I don't do, but it's about what he has done. You see, I know that I'm in myself. I'm not righteous enough. But I am not in myself. I am in Christ. And because there is no condemnation for Christ, there is also no condemnation for me. You see, listen, this is not a positional truth. This is the truth of the gospel. Last week, we sang a song that says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, or may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you stand faultless before the throne of God because of what Jesus did? See, often the gospel we sing is bolder than the gospel we preach, isn't it? Let's read verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, Paul here is talking about a different kind of law. It's not a law for you to keep, but it's a law as a force or a principle, like the law of gravity, for example. If you are born on this earth, you are under the law of gravity. And this law makes sure that you are stuck to the ground. And you can try as much as you want to overcome the law of gravity. You cannot do it on your own. You see, the law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. Since the day Adam sinned, humanity was born into this world with this law operating inside of them. And this law calls sin and death. Now, it doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot overcome this law on your own. You might try not to sin. You might have success one day, maybe two, but you eventually fall into sin. Because there is a law operating inside of you. And this law is pulling you down. And because sin kills, this law will eventually kill you. You see, this is why it calls the law of sin and death. See, sin and death always work together. But Paul is saying here that through Christ, Jesus, a different law has set us free from the law of sin and death. See, let's go back to the law of gravity. The law of gravity makes sure that nothing is floating on the air. But if I get a balloon and I fill this balloon with helium gas, the balloon will float. The balloon will not just float. The balloon will go up and up and up and up until it disappears in the sky. It is because now there is a new force inside of this balloon. And it is the same with us. When we are born again, there is a new force inside of us. And this force is called the law of the Spirit that gives life. See, this force is stronger than the law of sin and death. This force is strengthening you. This force is pulling you towards God and away from sin. Constantly, this force is pulling you up and up and up. Not until the day you die, because you never die. But until the day you see your Lord in heaven. Let's go to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. How good is that? What the law was powerless to do, God did. How did he do it? He did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. See, Paul here is talking about the cross. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took all the sins of the world on himself. See, Jesus Christ never sinned, but in the cross, he became the embodiment of sin. We told that in 2 Corinthians 5, Jesus became sin. See, every sin, past, present, and future, was put on Jesus Christ. And he became sin. And when this happened, God came down condemning. And God poured all the condemnation and wrath of the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. Now listen. If the condemnation of my sins went to Jesus Christ, then I can just conclude that therefore there is now no more condemnation for me. See, God is not going to condemn and punish my sin twice. The penalty is paid. And that's Paul's point. What the law couldn't do. The law couldn't take my sins away. The law could not justify me. The law could not make me righteous. And so God came and he did what the law could not do. And because Jesus became a sin offering, because God made him who has no sin to become a sin for us, we are today the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Next verse. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now let me tell you what the requirement of the law is. The requirement of the law is, you better obey all 613 commandments, or else you're guilty. You see, the law requires perfection. And because Jesus took our sins on him and took the condemnation of the law was fulfilled, first for us, because he fulfilled the law for us, and second, the Holy Spirit fulfills the requirement of the law in us. How? It is because when we walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide us to walk in love. And love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13. So, but listen, there is a big difference between trying to fulfill the law by being under the law and walking by the Spirit, which will lead you to walk in love, which fulfills the law. Big, big, big difference. But when Paul says in Romans 7 that he's dead to the law, He is not saying that he is against the law. The law is perfect. The law is good. What Paul is saying is that he gave up trying to keep the law. He's saying he's no match for the law. But listen, guess who wrote the law? The Holy Spirit wrote the law. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can fulfill the intention of the law. That is love. You see, when we walk by the Spirit, we don't need the law. Because the Holy Spirit will transform us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will bear his fruit in us. And against these things, against the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no law. Galatians 5. You see, the Holy Spirit will never put you under the law. But the Holy Spirit also will never guide you against the intention of the law, which is love. So what we need to live holy lives, it's not the law. What we need to live holy lives is the Holy Spirit. Are you all with me? Okay, so if you are a believer, know this. You are dead to the law. You are released from the law. You are not under the supervision of the law because Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. Well, some people think, when I say that, some people might be thinking, how am I going to live without the law? I'm going to start sinning. How am I going to know the difference between right and wrong? Well, here's Paul's idea. What about walking by the Spirit and listening to his voice? See, he will never guide you into sin. He will never guide you against the intention of the law. And he will also give you power to follow his guidance. You see, that is what Paul is saying in the next verse of Romans 8. In the next verses, Paul is giving the secret for a Christian an abundant life. And the secret is a person. It's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit takes what is true of Jesus Christ and makes it a reality in our lives. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit takes what is true of Jesus Christ and makes it a reality in our lives. Let's read verse 5 to 9. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So if you are born of God, you are in the realm of the Spirit. You might not be living by the Spirit, but you belong to the realm of the Spirit. Now, the conduct of the Spirit is marked by life and peace. Who here needs some more life and peace? I do. You see, how do you know that someone is living by the Spirit? There is peace. That person is in peace with God, is in peace with herself, is in peace with others. And there is always a feeling of life and fruit on that person. See, the only practical thing that Paul says in this whole text is, set your mind on the Spirit. Let the Spirit govern your mind, so you will walk by the Spirit. In other words, be aware of the Spirit who lives inside of you. See, Paul once wrote a letter to a church that was having a lot of problems with sin. This church was Corinth, and there were men sleeping with prostitutes there. Do you know what Paul told them? He didn't say, "Don't you know that the law condemns sexual immorality?" That is not what he said. He said, "Don't you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and that you are his temple?" Are you aware of that? Because if you are aware of the holiness, the righteousness, the freedom, and the resources that you have inside of you, you will not allow sin to enslave you again. See, I will give you a last illustration, and then we will end. When I look to all of you, I can see that you all have one thing in common. All of you, no exceptions. You all have a nose in the middle of your face. Now, unless you have a cold, you probably did not think about your nose today. But now that I'm talking about it, you are suddenly aware of it. Now, you need your nose for life. You breathe with it. You use it to smell. You are actually using your nose all the time, even though you are not aware. Until a healthy crisis comes that has names of cold and flu. Oh, now you are aware of your nose all the time. You are cleaning your nose. You are blowing your nose. You are complaining about your nose. See, sometimes we Christians relate to the Holy Spirit in the same way that we relate to our nose. We live heavily unaware of him. See, he's there. He's inside of us. He's working in us. He's giving us life. He's guiding us. He's active inside of us. He's not inactive. But we might be completely unaware of his doing inside of us until a crisis comes. Then we are suddenly completely aware of the Holy Spirit. We are praying for wisdom. We are praying for help. We are praying for guidance. And that is all good. The Holy Spirit is always here to help. But what Paul is saying here is, you do not need a crisis to be aware of the Holy Spirit. You can live your life in a constant awareness of the Spirit who lives inside of you. And guess what? If you do that, you might have less crisis to deal with. See, the Holy Spirit wants to talk and guide us all the time. We just need to tune in. And I would like to end this morning calling all of us to set our minds and to tune in into the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't even like to think, where would I be if it wasn't the Holy Spirit inside of me? What kind of person would I be if it wasn't the Holy Spirit living in me, strengthening me, healing me, comforting me, guiding me, delivering me, strengthening me? And in a time as this, where crises are around us, we need all to tune in into the Holy Spirit. We need to leave our opinions and our carnal, natural instincts on the side and listen to what the Spirit is telling us. That is what a Christian life is all about. It is not about rules and regulations. It is about a relationship with a person who is Jesus Christ, and you relate to him through the Holy Spirit. Now, I will pray. Then James will finish the meeting. I think we'll have a song. You can all close your eyes. Thank you, Lord, because we're free. Lord, we thank you because even when we fail, there is no condemnation for us. Thank you, Lord, because you came and you did what the law could not do for us. Thank you for your salvation and for the good news of your gospel. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Thank you for the voice that is always inside of us, telling us where to go, what to do, comforting us, healing us. I pray that we'll all be aware of your Holy Spirit, that we'll all learn how to walk by the Spirit, how to listen to that quiet, small voice inside of us, Lord. I pray that you guide us into peace. I pray that your promise will come true and that we'll be a people known by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, I come.